Hey, everybody, welcome to Old Guys Row Radio, Season 6, Episode 5. It is your guy, Chuck Olson, down here in pretty nice Houston, hanging out and having some fun. What a great show we have for you today. Next week, just to announce, Danny's going to tell you some funny, exciting things. As usual, I'm right around the corner. Bang! Out of the blue corner! 6'2" and very trim and fit. 251. Big Danny Lakey. How'd I do on the weight? I just guessed.
Pretty close. 249.
Very nice. I just guessed. Look at this head. Yeah. Look at that head. Yeah. You can usually look at somebody's head other than me. I'm 235. My head's gigantic for the rest of my body. But, hey, Danny, how are you, sir? What's going on?
I'm doing great. And I got nothing to rail on, but I am going to throw this out there. So there was a television evangelist. His name was Robert Tilton. And this dude, I mean, he was just a skinny rail. And he was out of Las Colinas. And, I mean, he used to be big for a really long time. And then, like so many others, he got embezzlement or whatever. But I was in – I worked in Las Colinas. It's in Irving outside of Dallas. And I'm going up an elevator and happened to be his office building. And he and his bodyguard came on. And his body – and even back then – yeah, this is 30 years ago. I was still, you know, 225, 230. I was still a big dude. But his bodyguard gets on. He's massive. Robert Tilton comes in. He's like – 5'9", 140, and his head was probably 40 pounds of that. This dude had the biggest freaking melon I'd ever seen on a human being in his little bitty tiny body. And if you ever watch him, they only just do pictures of his face, and it fills up the whole damn screen. And you think it's because it's zoomed in, and it's because it's that damn big.
Wow.
So you don't have a big head, sir. Trust me, you don't. That dude had a melon.
Not compared to the sunflower. That guy's the way the guy was. So all around the world, thank you for tuning in. It's allergy season down here. So if you hear me sneezing and coughing, no, don't get off the show because you think I have COVID. Don't put a mask on while you're listening to the show because you think I have COVID. One or two or version six, it doesn't matter. I do not, and he does not. Even if we did, you're safe. If you want to put a mask on while you're listening to the show, then you got to cut a little hole in there so you can drink your beer while listening to the show. So thanks for doing Old Guys Row Radio. I got to start one off. I love to start the show with something weird and kind of offset.
Okay.
For people in the world. So, Danny, can you name three or four things that suck? So this episode part is about things that just suck. And after I did it and I wrote mine up and I prepared for the show, there's like five more that came out. So, Danny, what are two or three things or four, whatever some things you think suck?
Leaving your windows down at night only to have it rain overnight.
It's kind of – so you're able to do it where you live, but down there – no, if it freezes, you're screwed. Inside of your car screwed, right? You don't do that in Ohio. You have your windows down, and you got a cake of ice everywhere. Cakey ice. One of my least favorite things is, dude, whether you've had old guys' beers or not, you're walking out to get that water or take that leak or whatever, and the wife has moved a chair, or you just stubbed it. Like, I'm missing a toenail off of this foot from stubbing a toe. I'm not talking about stubbing a toe like a little bonk, but one of those throw the chair out in the street and light it on fire, stub the toes.
Wow.
I hate this late night stub the toes for us old guys.
Yeah. That's a good one. All right. So, stepping in dog poop. Shoe or shoeless, it doesn't matter. When you feel the gush, you know what you hit, and you usually smell it immediately, and that just sucks.
That is also a good one, because I do a lot of services, go to people's houses probably 20 or 30 times a week for quality control, and there's nothing like having to throw your shoes in the back of your new manager truck because they didn't clean up their bond. Oh, yeah. Good one. All right, mine. Next is you go to one of your favorite restaurants, right? And you usually get the same thing, right? So the thing that sucks is when you go to one of your favorite places and try something new,
yeah,
and it friggin' sucks. Because you know they got exactly what you want in there. They got exactly the food, your favorite dish. Oh, yeah. Let me try these other enchiladas. Yeah. I just did it at a place I love to go to, and I was like, wah, wah. So there's one of mine.
All right.
Your turn, buddy.
Okay. Now, this one is very localized, and I have to explain it, but it's that damn Crescen train. So between Fort Worth and Granbury, there's a town called Crescen, and they have a train track. And it is near a rail station where they derail and couple trains. Well, they come across the train track where the highway is. And yesterday, for example, I got stopped there on the way to Fort Worth, and I was there for a half an hour while they were changing cars. Now, yesterday seemed to be a pretty busy day, because then on my way back, I got caught at the Crescen train for about 5 minutes. It wasn't too terrible. And then I had to go see a patient in Burleson, and I got caught at the damn Crescen train for the third time. The Crescen train sucks so bad. There's a guy in Granbury has a bumper sticker that he puts on his truck every Christmas, and it says Merry Christmas to all except the damn Crescen train.
Ah,
so sorry, if you've got a piece of traffic or something that bottles you up constantly and there's nothing you can do about it, there it is.
I think that's all around the world.
Yeah.
When we're transporting, other than the Autobahn for our German friends, you don't get caught up on the Autobahn. But there's like five different places here. Beltway 8 and down a 16 loop and 45 to, yeah, every city other than California. That's a good one. That's also a good one. All right. So the other thing that pisses me off, I was going to say the IRS and insurance, but those are more of a scam to me. I think that, yeah, exactly. He agrees.
Yeah.
I think they're a scam to me. But my final thing that pisses me off for the week the most is Joe Biden.
There you go.
That's it. His non-response to the world and all that they're doing to us is making us a puppet. Have you ever seen Naked Gun?
Yes.
So at the beginning of Naked Gun, all of the leaders of the world, or the bad leaders of the world, sit around going, they're a paper tiger. They're ripe for the picking. Blah, blah, blah. We were not. And we really aren't to a certain degree because we're still, but we're a lot closer to that beginning of that movie than we ever were.
Yeah.
But anyway, my last one was going to be, I hate insurance prices. I hate home insurance prices and all the scams. You don't have flood insurance. Your house flooded. I had home insurance. Oh, you don't have comprehensive on your car. So you owe 12 grand. I hate the insurance companies because I want them to tell me up front what I need so that I don't get when it comes around.
Yeah.
They should, and everybody who should try to upsell us, it is the insurance companies.
Yeah.
Yes, we're looking for the lowest price. You know, if you get in a wreck and your car's totaled, it's not covered. Why? Right. So anyway, that's a real pisser.
Yep. All right. So my last one, and I will have no discussion on it. My last one, that suck, my wife. All right. Next topic.
Well, because the positive one, mine's on the positive. All right.
All right.
So next topic, things that don't suck.
My wife. So just take those two for what they are.
I'm gonna plead the fifth on both of those. Things that don't suck. My first one is swimsuit models and everything that has to do with them. And all that they stand for. Because I just don't get to see enough swimsuit models anymore. And I stand for them. And I believe in their cause. We love you, swimsuit models. We believe in you.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a very good one. All right, so my first one of things that don't suck, football. Football doesn't suck.
There you go. I said really good sports. So there's a few of them left, so we're in concurrence on that.
All right.
But I like football when people get hit and the game gets tough and drag their asses off there, and they don't play like Lamar Jackson did the other game. He just choked it up.
Yeah.
Dude. So anyway, that's when I love. I love football. Love some basketball, some college sports. All right. So yes, we're in concurrence.
All right. My second one was winning the World Series. That didn't suck. That was pretty damn good.
That is a really good one. After almost your whole life wanting to do it.
Yeah. As long as I can remember, you know, they got here in 72, I was 4, and I remember going in 72. You know, I remember going my whole life. As long as I can remember, I have gone to Ranger games. So when I was 3, I don't remember anything. Therefore, they were here as long as I've been able to remember my whole life. Yeah.
My next one, because I did a lot of sports before, is what's really good is really good beer.
I had that on mine, except I just put a good cold beer.
Okay, I guess our brains, after 6 years of the show, ladies and gentlemen, our brains are mind melt. We're doing the Star Trek Spock and Kirk mind meld after all these years.
Your thoughts are my thoughts.
Cheers to all of you. Yes.
Well, I have one more. I've got one more if you want to hear it. And this goes back to the sports theme while you're chugging a beer. Being at opening day and getting to experience that, and then being at game 7 of the championship, you know, right before the Super Bowl, obviously both times with Chuck, but being at those two games, being at the bookends, for the Astros it was the bookends, but just being at both of those games, that did not suck. That was quite awesome. So that's my list of things that don't suck.
I got two more.
All right.
Things that don't suck. Danny Lakey. Here, look. It's like written on there.
Oh, that's funny.
And then the USA.
That is correct.
Yes. But there are my two final things that don't suck.
Hey.
So thanks.
Can I say something about your last one that doesn't suck? Because we get sometimes too involved in the division that people bring us out into, right? And the things we always need to remember, this country doesn't suck. There are people in it that suck. There are some beliefs that people have, and it doesn't matter which one, that suck. No matter who you are, there's going to be people you disagree with, and their opinions may suck. But that doesn't necessarily mean the people suck, and it certainly doesn't mean that the country sucks. So you're right. This country doesn't suck. We just need to remember a little bit more often that just because there's things we don't like doesn't mean that the whole is bad. It's kind of like it's kind of like a big, giant wheel of cheese that has a little bit of mold over on one side because it sat too close to some moisture area somewhere.
I would say maybe there's a little bit more mold than you're talking about.
Well, yeah.
So maybe about a little corner of that giant wheel of cheese.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to throw out $5,000 worth of cheese because $200 has a little cut cheese.
And there it is. You can always remove that bad part. You don't have to eat it. You don't have to like it. That part is bad, but that's still a really good piece of cheese. And so anyway, I guess...
Well, I want to piggyback on that and say there was a time right after the unfortunate events of 9/11 that I thought our country, us people, were very close. And what I'm calling for all you listeners and all the world is regardless of politics, regardless of voting, there was a time when, and there's something coming. I don't know what's coming. but there's something coming, and it's time for us to come together and go, it does, like Michael Jackson, doesn't matter if you're black or white or red or whatever. After 9/11, when you walked down the streets, no matter you, where you went, we all kind of had a head nod.
Mm-hmm.
We all kind of had a fist bump.
Yep.
I'm praying at the beginning of the show that we can get back to there sooner than later.
Amen.
Because we need it, folks. They let over, I don't know if you've heard this number, hundreds of thousands of people came into our country last year.
Undocumented. 8.1 million in the last 6 years. 2.7 million last year.
You realize that's like more than the eastern states. And
there have been more illegals that have come in than the total populations of 35 different states.
Yes. And folks, they haven't done anything. They're saying, oh, we're going to do something now. We're going to now we're planning.
There are three metropolitan areas in the U.S., no, four, with over 8 million people in them. And Houston is not one of them.
No.
Houston is like 7.9 million. So when you think about it, in the last 3 years, we have let in a New York City. We have let in an L.A. We have let in a Chicago. Now, New York's the only one that the city has more population than, but the rest of them, they're metro areas. And we've let in a Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, which is at 8.2. Those four metro areas, we've let in think about that. A metro area. If you've ever been to New York City or L.A. or Chicago or Dallas-Fort Worth and recognize how big those areas are, DFW are set, the downtown areas are 45 miles apart. And you're talking all the area inside, all the area around it. You're talking an area that's over 100 miles wide and 100 miles tall. And all the people in that area. Think about that. That's a lot of people to move in 3 years.
I wish more people were. We have some new listeners to the show.
Yeah.
Like my brother and some other folks. But I'm not talking about policy.
Right.
I don't care who you plug into the presidency.
Yeah.
We gotta close the effing border.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are or who you vote for. If we don't close the border and start making oil, we're done, folks.
Yeah.
If we get another 5 or 10 million people in here, so I live in an area, ladies and gentlemen, where I see them. Because there is an opportunity in the outskirts of Houston and Texas, there are thousands of these folks, and they are just here, bro.
Yeah.
They can live off of beans and tortillas because they haven't lived off nothing. I'm not trying to be rude.
I know.
But the fact is that, no disrespect, but out of those hundreds of thousands, you know that there was a good chunk of not nice people in there.
Yeah.
And so why we need to stop this is there are bad guys returning here who've already done bad things.
And if you don't think so, you do know that yesterday, I think it was four or five illegal immigrants beat a cop in New York City. Beat him, kicked him, beat the shit out of him, put him in the hospital. They caught him, they arrested him. Now, they also let him out without bond, without bail. They let him back out on the street. How the hell do we do this? These are when I say these are not good people, we're not talking about everybody who's tried to come into the country. That's a whole other story. But there are a lot of bad actors who want to be in this country for a lot of various reasons. But dudes that will come, is there a name a country that you would get a visa to, you would go to and visit and beat the shit out of one of their cops just because you were mad? Where would you go and think that that's okay?
Where would you go and then think you'd get out of that country?
Yeah.
You might sneak away. Me and you might give a couple pops to a police officer at a World Cup event and then go bopping around the corner and get away with it, but not beat him to where he's hospitalized.
How many Americans? How many Americans in the 2000s would do? Well, hang on. Would do vandalism in the Philippines? None, because shortly before that, a kid did, and they caned him for it. You know, I mean, if other countries punish people so we don't break their laws, not only do we let them in, do we let criminals in, but then we don't punish them.
How many police officers, ladies and gentlemen of the American United States, or most of the countries that you listen to me at, how many times have you assaulted a police officer?
There you go. Yeah.
I was one of those. And I'll tell you that that's bull crap. And that's that is the problem. What they did in all of history is first they lowered the police rate, they bought the courts, they took our guns, and then you lost your country. How far are we from that place? And that I don't care who you vote for. I don't care who you believe in, like politically.
Right.
There is one simple fact. Biden can't be president again. My brother, anyone else in the country, whatever. I don't care who you vote for. Biden can't be president again because he's not president and he's not there. That's all. I'm not going to say on this show that I'm a crazy thing for Trump and I'll go out there and I'll rubber and January. It doesn't matter who you vote for. But if you vote for Biden, he's not there anymore, folks. This is something I was listening to on the air. It sounds, the fact of the matter, and Danny works in this industry, when someone gets that far recessed, they need care. They need to be cared for. He can't walk off the stage. He can't hardly walk. This man needs special care, hospice, special care for the Alzheimer's. And it's offensive to a lot of my friends and people I know who have people who have Alzheimer's because they're declined. And he is declined so far that he needs help and special care. And it's abusive to him to force him up in front of people when he knows nothing of what he's doing, when he knows nothing of what he's saying. And so God bless him, remove him and put him somewhere where he can get the care he needs, and then remove whoever it is that's voting for them so they can get the care. And they.
There you go. Boy, that cough is contagious there, Chuck. I'm getting it. Maybe I ought to wear a mask.
Yeah. So I got to tell you, I hope you listen to what I just said. Not you, the people in the world.
Yeah, I got it.
Biden's just not quite there.
Look, and you know, it's funny that you mention hospice because I am in the hospice industry. And I will tell you, I've seen enough dementia and enough people that have issues. He's not ready for hospice. He's not that far gone. There's certain criteria you have to meet. He's not there. But having a mother that had Alzheimer's, having a father-in-law that had dementia, and being in the business, we see the decline.
His decline's been massive over the last year.
Yeah.
The last year. Hey. And it's getting worse.
That's not for
the guy who's the healthcare director of Cardinal Healthcare. That's not for the guy who's a manager of an office in Fort Worth.
Right.
That's for the guy who's the leader of our country.
Right. And
I get all emotional.
And you look at Obama. And if you look at him the day he took office and you look at pictures of the day he left, you can see some visual aging and visual stress. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't qualified or, you know, that he didn't have it when he left. I'm just saying on a young, healthy man, you can see the aging that the presidency put on him. Now you take an old, feeble man and then think about that three and a half years later, and Biden, like you said, is just not there. His the toll that being president takes on any human being is great, and you take it on somebody who was questionable at the beginning, and the dude, right, he's just not there anymore.
One of my things is that, like with Trump, if he should go back into office, the weird part is if they had anybody anywhere capable, like, okay, let's pose this out. So, like, if Trump started declining real bad, had a heart attack, died with his cheeseburger ass, right?
Right.
I think Pence probably would have been a logical move.
Well, Pence would have been able to take, I mean, Pence would have taken the position because that's how it works. Yes. He would have finished out the term,
whether I like or hate Pence, I think he's a big douche, and I think he's the ultimate politician. When I say that, I don't like ultimate politicians. I don't like ultimate religious folks, but that's okay.
Right.
That would have been someone at least I'd have went, okay. So when he put him on his party, on his ticket, but now you got Danny's favorite, Kamala, and it would have been, if they had anybody capable, honestly. So here's the two conspiracy theories. You got Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
And you got Michelle Obama.
Yeah. Because Kamala is worthless. Yeah.
So if they run Biden, I think I'm going to have to find the pest control company in Canada.
here's the thing. Biden's not going to make it. Biden's not going to make it.
But there. He won the primary, bro.
Oh, I know.
He won the New Hampshire primary.
Yeah, but that's just the first one.
They're running Biden. And what are they going to push him around a wheelchair in about a year? And they're going to run him? Yeah. And then he's going to win?
Yeah.
I mean, my point is, this is my point. Political injuncture aside, because a lot of people listen to our show, we haven't talked a lot of politics for a while. I don't care who you are in America. If you vote for Biden, you're I'm going to hold my words. You have no brain. Whatever Danny's going to say.
Well, I was going to say I can see it sometime that they might, like right now they're not talking about removing Kamala, but I can see at some point in time that they may try and make Gavin Newsom or Michelle Obama, like if it gets to the point where even the diehard liberals
put him up.
Yeah,
so that's what they said.
They know they're going to lose. They know they're going to lose.
And the show said they're going to put him up, and then they're going to call him incompetent, and then they're going to put Newsom or Obama in last minute, and then run one of them.
But you can't do that legally here because if you remove the president, the vice president takes over. Period. The vice president was on the ballot.
They remove the candidate. Remove the candidate. That's different.
Can't do
that's
that either. Different you in the convention. You can't do that either, because you have to be able to get your person on the ballot, and there is coming a fast time that they're not going to be able to get them on the ballot. I mean, now if they do it at the convention and they name somebody else, I could see them doing that, and they could name anybody else
that's
that
what
they
I mean.
Want. Yeah,
that's what I mean at the convention. That's what I mean. They're going to, at the convention, they're going to go, whoa. Unfortunately, we're going to have to reel in the current president, and we're going to have to name. And I wouldn't throw up at Newsom. He's still.
Oh, he's such a political douche, but that's a whole different argument.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, at least he can talk. At least he can walk around.
He can walk and talk and form sentences, but he lies a lot. That dude is so full of half truths, it's unbelievable.
And whoever they, so here's my conjecture to you: whoever they put up, do you think they're going to win?
I don't know. I think that I think that over the next 6 months, right, as the campaign revs up, I think what you're going to find is Biden is going to collapse. I don't think physically he can do it. I don't think mentally he can do it. And I know that he's not going to want to do any debates, and I don't think he's going to do a lot of campaign stops. And when he's not campaigning, people are going to start going, wait a minute, this is not COVID.
But he didn't last campaign, Danny.
Like I said.
He didn't last time either.
But that's what I was about to say. People are going to go, wait a minute, dude, this is not COVID. You can't hide in the basement because of COVID this time. And so I think that people are going to get upset about that. The problem with taking him out is my campaign, if I'm Trump, and if I'm the Republicans, is we knew Biden was bad for so long and they lied to you and now they're bringing in Michelle or now they're bringing in Gavin or whoever it is they're bringing in. I'd be like, they lied to you for 3 years and now they're changing their mind. That's how I'd pose it. And I don't think that person would win. Now, on the flip side, I think if they came out and they picked a different vice president and put them on the ticket with Biden and then said, if Biden can't make it, then instead of Kamala, you have Gavin. Then the Democrats go, hey, we're not voting for Biden. We're voting for Gavin. And I think at that point, they may get enough traction. But I think if they just flat out replace him and try to put it on there, I think we go, they lied to you so bad. We all knew he had dementia. We knew he wasn't running the country, and they were lying to you like pieces of crap, and I think they'll lose in a landslide. But if they change VPs, they might be able to slide that one through and win. Because then the people would be going, I'm not voting for Biden. I'm voting for whoever's running for vice president. But they can't vote for Camel Toe because she's terrible, and everybody knows it. So I think that they're going to take her out first and then put somebody else in, and then everybody's going to know with a wink and a nod, if you vote for Biden, he's going to step down as soon as he gets elected.
Why wouldn't they do that with Trump? That's my final question, is that, you know, that one Haley broad.
Yeah. Yeah.
If she became his VP.
Right.
They couldn't win. We would win.
I think so.
Because Trump's already losing in all the polls, but that doesn't mean anything because they know how to cheat the vote. But if you got, I think that part in the places where they cheated.
Yeah.
With Haley, she could draw those votes in.
Uh-huh.
The suburban mothers, yeah. The people that don't like Trump and his assaults and all those things.
Right.
So, and I don't understand why she doesn't see the logicality of it, because if she really wants to be president, he's only a one-time president. Or DeSantis. Either one of them jumps on the Trump train, they're the next president.
Yeah.
Whichever one of them signs up for Trump is the next president of the United States.
I think
if a schlub like me knows it, then why can't they see it?
Okay.
Right?
So I think, well, there's a couple of things. So with Nikki Haley, I think she may be, all right. So she's won the wild card. Okay. She's got the wild card seat. If Trump gets convicted of a felony prior to the election and is in and not capable of running, then Nikki Haley, as the only remaining candidate, would be the one on the ticket. That's what I mean. She's the wild card. Is that if Trump somehow is incapable of running, Haley will be the one that runs. And they'll have to take it because she'll have won some delegates, which
so
he
that's
has.
Why she's not checking out.
I think so. Yes. At some point, she could check out if she chooses to be VP and he lets her. And I know that may not happen. I think Tim Scott may be the one that he's leaning towards. I would like Tim Scott or Nikki Haley. Now,
there's another one.
He's not
a broadcaster.
Yeah,
they've been talking about
the one that ran for governor. Kari Lake. She ran for
no. It's not a woman. It's another one who could fight off the press. We'll talk about that one.
All right.
Next time we talk.
All right. But anyway, I was going to say, I don't believe in hiring. I don't want to say I want to hire a woman. I don't want to say I want to hire a man. I don't want to say I want to hire a person of color, because I think you need to hire the best people. Okay. I think DeSantis is qualified, but I think if you're trying to round out your ballot, I would love to see Nikki Haley or Tim Scott be the running mate of Trump, because Nikki Haley, like you said, would help bring the mom vote in. Tim Scott would help bring the minority vote in. And I would love to see a minority or a female minority on the Republican ticket. And I think they're both qualified. I don't want to pick either of them because she is a person of color and a woman, or he is a person of color. I think that they're both very qualified, and then they also happen to be that. Does that make sense? Where Kamala, they picked her because of what she looks like, not because of her qualifications. She wasn't qualified, and they picked her for it. These two, I think, are both qualified. And I would love to see – I would love to have either one of them run our country. And so they would be the front runner if Trump makes all 4 years. Why not?
I think that there's a time – I think that Ron DeSantis has a lot to bring to the table.
I do, too.
I have a lot of belief in him.
Yeah.
And I think that he could be a future leader. His campaign and how he ran himself were left a lot to be desired. But I would not vote for him in a couple other times. So I definitely looked at that.
Yeah.
Hey, so thank you for Old Guys Roll Radio Politics 101, 201.
Sorry.
It's your guy Chuck sitting here with Big Danny. And we appreciate you tuning in. It's time for the favorite part of the show.
B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and an Uber driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.
He always throws in Uber driver because that's his boy down here. So cheers. Thanks for the Old Guys Roll Radio. So mine is a weird one, and it's going to be funny. So I don't know if you out there, ladies and gentlemen, have a good black and tan. Danny, you know what a black and tan is?
I do. Love them.
It's Guinness and the right two beers mixed and layered just right and delicious.
Guinness in a Bass. You put the lighter beer on the bottom and then you float the darker beer on the top. There's a couple others that I work with as well.
I tried a Carbach Black and Tan today.
Okay.
And it was the Hopadillo and the Love Street. And neither of them were dark. So my episode is fail. And hey, so next week I'm going to try the Crawford, which is a Bach.
Yeah,
it should be dark enough to do it. So it's all about beer experimenting. So beer experimentation one, the Crawford will be my thing, but the Carbach Black and Tan was a fail today.
So yeah, you need something even a little bit thicker than the Bach beers if you're really wanting to try it. So, I mean, that's just how it is.
Tried and failed. And, hey, you guys will be proud of me, beer family. I drank it anyway. I put it in there, poured it up, then separate, and just put it, pounded it down. Chinatown. What do you got for us, Big D?
All right.
It was okay.
So we're still drinking beers from our good buddy Rob. He's out of Missouri, and I've got this. Next episode will be episode 6, and it'll be the last of the 6-pack that he brought me for Christmas. So I got one more of his, and then I actually have a revolver that's been in the refrigerator that long, just waiting to try it. So this one he brought me is from O'Malley's, and it's the O'Malley Stout, and that's from the West, or actually it's just called O'Malley Stout from the Weston Brewing Company. And again, I don't know, and Rob, man, you got to like email me or text me or do something and let me know, why the hell is it that there's almost the last beer had the alcohol by volume, but this one doesn't either. And it's a stout, and it doesn't have it. And you would think that a stout would be a little bit higher in alcohol. So, Rob, your research is, why do your microbrews not tell us how much alcohol is in there? But as a stout goes, this thing looks like motor oil, which, I mean, that's what a stout's supposed to, if you don't know. It smells like motor oil, which is what it's supposed to smell like. So right now, if it looks like motor oil and it smells like motor oil, it must be a stout. Wow. I'm going to look now. If you don't know, I hate coffee. and I'm not a big fan of stouts, and this has a little bit of a coffee flavor. It's not overbearing. Energy. I'm going to tell you, if you like a stout, I'd drink it. I've had enough stouts that people enjoy. My brother loves the stouts, so I've had enough stouts that people enjoy. Yeah, if you're a stout fan, there you go. If you're a stout fan, then definitely drink this one. I think it's definitely a drink it. And for all your stout people, because it smells like a stout, it tastes like a stout, it looks like a stout, it must be a stout. And O'Malley's knows what a stout is all about.
If it looks like a Palestinian and talks like a Palestinian, then hell, it's definitely.
And smells like a Palestinian.
A burrito. Hey, Danny, do you know what time they start Wimbledon each year?
No.
Tennis!
Hey, I am going to do something, because you really need a stout for a black and tan. So I've got my revolver, and I've got my stout, and I'm going to try to pour some of the stout on top of my revolver. Now, you do know one of the things when you're doing it.
If it's bad, don't ruin it. I mean, don't ruin it.
No. But you got to have something to divide the beer out. You can't just pour it straight on. Yeah, you need a spoon or something.
There we go. It's like me with my mother cooking. You're not doing it right. You got to have a spoon. You got to do it this way. You got to do it that way.
All right, damn it. You got to have a spoon. I got a spoon.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I got a spoon. I got a beer. And so the other is that if you want the separations, the stout will sit on top of a regular beer.
Because he fried the motherboard with his blackened pan and his crap.
Here. But no. Can you see it? Can you see it?
He floated it.
Oh, dude, that is a perfect black and tan.
That's a black and tan.
There you go.
So I'll say it's perfect. So I'll tell you, next week, we're going to figure out how to do teams. So we're going to do a little bit of a live show posted on our website, oldguysrealradio.com. And we're going to do same on audio, about 30-30.
Now, I got to tell you right now, you know, because I've always said mixing revolver with any beer makes it better, right? But if you want to make a black and tan, that revolver and that O'Malley stout, boy, that stout I wish we were live, and I may have. Well, hell, I won't have one of these next week, but man, is that not the perfect color or what? It is just freaking fantastic.
Wait, the separation. I can at least take a picture.
And I probably could too, but yeah, so. There you go. We're talking black and tans. I've just made my own from an O'Malley stout and a revolver. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's perfect. You should see my picture. So I'll try to get it to Chuck when we get it posted up. But, yeah.
It's not about how it looks. And how it tastes.
Yeah, that's – if you like a black and tan, yeah, that's definitely worth drinking. Oh, that's good. The revolver's good. It mixes well with it. It takes some of that coffee out that I don't like. No, that's good.
Nice.
That's very nice. No, that is very nice. So there you go. O'Malley Stout and a revolver, blood and honey.
We got blood and honey, black and tan. That's going to be our new thing in the next few weeks, is what beers can we make black and tans out of? Do they suck like mine, or do they – women like Danny's.
So I'm gonna call this the Backwoods Black and Tan, and that's because, you know, I'm kind of out in the country, and Missouri's not a super populous state, and we're both kind of in the backwoods. So the Backwoods Black and Tan is a Missouri's O'Malley Stout and a revolver blood and honey. There we are.
All right. Good beer 30. Interesting beer 30. And thank you for tuning in. Now we haven't even went to our favorite sport yet, or many sports, because we were all caught up. So let's just go straight to NFL. And congratulations to
Nobody we picked. We both picked the Lions, and we both picked the Ravens. So nobody we picked.
No, I got the points on my FanDuel, so I survived. But
cool.
Once again, and here's the question, because we know the results. So they're going to be in the Super Bowl again. So do you think that it's because of Andy Reid or is it the system, or is it actually the quarterback? Why are the Chiefs? This is their fourth out of fifth Super Bowl, bro.
Right. A little bit of all the above. Okay, I'm going to put this team. They're not there yet, but they have the possibility of being the Patriots. Okay, you've got the right coach with the right quarterback and some really good talent around him. You know, the problem earlier in the season when we didn't think the Chiefs were going to make it, it was because their receivers were all dropping the ball. They're not dropping the ball anymore. And it, and I don't care if you're a superstar or not. If you're in the NFL and you catch the football, if Patrick Mahomes is throwing it to you, then good things are going to happen generally. You know, some things that I notice, and I want to compare him with Dak. Number one, I don't think he breaks under pressure. I think he thrives under pressure. And that is not a taught skill. You either are or not cool as a cucumber. And he is. On the other side, I have yet to see him, and I'm not saying he hasn't done it because I don't watch all of his games, but I haven't really seen him hang a receiver out to dry to where when he throws one of his crazy passes – that his receiver gets pulverized on the other end. And that's kind of an old talent. Back in the Aikman day, back in the Bradshaw day, you know, back in the day of quarterbacks, if they did not throw the ball right when they could hit receivers like they could, their guys got hurt. And they and quarterbacks had to plan for that. And I've seen Dak throw several passes this year, a number of them, where his guys, I was afraid they weren't going to get up. I've not seen that yet with Mahomes. Not that it hasn't happened, but obviously not with the frequency it does with some other quarterbacks.
He, Travis Kelce should be their season MVP. Anything he threw within about 10 yards of him, maybe because his girlfriend had new lipstick on. But that dude played the game of his life. He surpassed Jerry Rice. Yeah. He surpassed all of the receiving records. Maybe not all-time playoff, but I got to tell you, if you've got a guy like that, there was a couple of plays, that little dunk when he was getting hit and he just flipped it up there, and he put himself out there, and you played football too. That hurt. When you lay out like that and you get hit, you catch that ball, and that hurt. And he caught it, and he got up, and he went back in there. That was the performance of probably nearly a decade for a receiver for me.
Yeah.
So I'll give all the credit in the world to Kelce.
Yeah.
Because won that game.
But
his other receivers were pretty good.
So
Kelce was everywhere, and he wouldn't drop a thing.
Right. So I was just going to say that's why I go back to the Patriots, because there were years when what's his name that was the – he's on TV now everywhere, the one that – the tight end that Brady used to throw to all the time.
Gronkowski.
So Gronk, there were years when he used his tight end Gronk. There were years when he used different wide receivers. He always – but that's why I say – you have talented guys around you. It doesn't have to be all of them, but you have talented guys around you, and you have the right quarterback and the right head coach running the right system. And now is that
all of those things?
Yeah,
all of those things. Yes,
and they've
sir.
And they've meshed. You had Troy Aikman in the right system with the right coach.
Just a couple of years there.
But yeah, after Johnson left and after Norm left, Norv Turner, the offensive coordinator, after they left, then there wasn't anything left of it. But you had the right player with talent around him in the right system. Was Troy the greatest quarterback ever? No. But he was cool as a cucumber. He didn't break under pressure. And that's one of the things. I think we saw Lamar Jackson break under pressure. We saw Jalen Hurts break under pressure. We saw Dak Prescott break under pressure. Some guys, and unfortunately, the Bills quarterback, he's got to be pounding his head on the wall going, I got to move to the NFC. He needs to come to one of the NFC teams, and then he'll be in the Super Bowl.
I
got to
make a comment on one of them.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that Jackson probably was suffered by the offense of calls. I didn't like how the offense was being called that game.
Right.
All you got to do is let that dude run and then deal with him. and the passing game's open. So I got to give some credit for his frustration.
Yeah.
Because they weren't – I don't think they called – you couldn't stop Baltimore when they're playing right.
Right.
And it didn't look like they were playing right. They lose the game and all those types of things. But I'm telling you, I saw them a couple times this year when they were calling the kind of the Lamar Jackson option special.
Yeah.
You can't stop the Ravens. And they weren't doing that, Danny. They were dropping him back all the time. They were keeping the receivers in the box.
Yeah.
They weren't going deep. All the things they did earlier in the season, opening up for runs, the offense wasn't doing. So this is the worst part, is does that make the NFL, was the NFL doing that?
No, because they were purple. Yeah. They needed the purple right. to get the prediction. I don't believe
for me that I don't think there's a scam in the
yeah.
NFL.
Yeah.
I think it's playing the games. But the fact is that like the Steelers just hired in a new offensive coordinator, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the league has this pattern, like offensive coordinator does really good. Gets promoted to head coach of a team, isn't really ready to manage the team
right.
like Harbaugh
right.
or like a lot of head coaches, and then falls. So they keep hiring them around places, and it's one of the few sports where when the coach fails, they keep hiring them around places.
Yeah.
Hoping they'll be better at this place than they were at that place.
Yeah.
And my problem with the NFL is a lot of times repeat head coaches, repeat fails because of their experience. They bring them in, think there's going to be a different result.
So I got a question for you.
I don't know about that.
I got a question for you because I think Tomlinson, I think he's a Hall of Fame coach. I think one day.
Tomlin.
I think Tomlin's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. One day when he retires, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I think he's a fantastic right. coach. And that is, he is an individual and as a coach is a fantastic
coach. He's above average.
Because one, he's won a Super Bowl. And two, with all the years he's had without a losing record, that's hard to do.
What year did he win a Super Bowl?
Huh?
What year did he win a Super Bowl? His first year in.
Yeah. Well, but he still won one.
Right.
And wasn't he the coach when they lost to the Cowboys?
No,
that was too long ago. All right, never mind. But he's won one. But so my point, the only reason I say that is that
all those years
now.
Cowboys success.
So here's my one question. Do you think that the NFL has had conversations with the Steelers about keeping him because of his skin color, and we don't have any other really good African-American coaches at this time? You know, Tony Dungy was fantastic, and he's out of the league because he wants to be, not because he has to be. But so do you think because of that, they may be keeping him around? Because I guarantee if you get rid of Tomlin, there's a half a dozen teams that would hire him and should hire him because he's going to be better with what they got. But I'm just asking. I'm just curious. Do you think that may be part of it?
I'm going to say no. I don't. The reason is that he's not going anywhere this year for sure.
Yeah.
But there has. This is going to be really zingy. So the majority of the athletes in the NFL are African American.
Of course.
And so in order to have a league that matches like my community and my employees, we have to match our community.
Right.
You have to make sure that you find the right people in the right place. I do not think that it matters to me what your skin color is. If you're a candidate, I got to hire in a manager.
Right.
Now, I don't care what your skin color is. If you're qualified, I'm going to pick the most qualified person.
Absolutely.
Regardless of the majority of my employees being this ethnicity or that ethnicity. And that's, I know that there has to be some diversity goals in the world, but I'm not going to play towards diversity before I play towards talent.
Right.
I'm not, if I've got several people that I have as candidates, I'm going to pick the candidate that would be most successful in my role for me. And it's hard in the world because not a lot of people can say that.
Right.
But you have to. And the world needs to realize, and you listening, it's the most successful candidate. It's the best person for the job. Like Danny and me are great ideas for president and vice president. It doesn't matter that we're a couple of big old whiteys. it matters because we care about the people and because we want the right thing for the United States. And so it carries over across everything. When you interview and you hire NFL, again, presidents, we're hiring a president, folks. We're literally hiring a president. Why not hire someone who can do a good job, regardless of their, where they got to be a citizen? That's it. And so great lead in, because my facts are, I looked at the 4 years when Donald Trump was a president and our country's financials were really good. I've looked at these last several years and our financials are not very good. So as long as you don't hire Biden again, America, you want this one, that one, this one, that one. I'm doing them my thing.
Yeah.
This one, that one, whatever you can do. Whoever you want to bring on the thing, I'm not going to be, I've got so many people who are listening right now who are going to be, I think Trump can do a pretty good job again. That's who I'm voting for. I don't profitably care who you vote for. But now we've got to talk about the last thing of the show. Didn't get a lot of sports in today.
Okay, hang on just a second, because I just have to ask, when does a joke become a dad joke?
Oh, when it's impasta?
No, when the punchline becomes apparent. Now, hang on. When does a punchline become apparent? After the delivery.
Oh.
Sorry, man. That's my double dad joke for the day. I've been waiting all day to get
it. The wife just phoned me. And she said that three women in her office received flowers today, and they're absolutely gorgeous. And I said, well, that's why they received flowers.
Absolutely.
All right.
That's why more. I sent them the flowers.
Yes, indeed. If Winnie the Pooh was an astronaut, what would he drink in space?
Poo juice?
Poo-tang.
All right.
What did Winnie the Pooh call his babysitter?
What?
Poo-nanny.
How many ears does Captain Kirk have?
Ooh.
Three. The right ear, the left ear, and the final frontier.
Oh,
come on, it's a dad joke.
It is. My wife told me they have two faults. One, I don't listen. And two, something else.
I don't remember the other one. Yeah. That one I've heard.
Wife a new refrigerator. I can't wait to see her face light up when she opens it.
What do you call an old person with good hearing? Death defying.
Nice. Oh, that's a good one. A couple more, folks. I once dated a girl who had a twin, and a bunch of people asked me, how could I tell them apart? I said it was easy. Joe painted her nails, and Robert had a beard.
That's horrible.
So, it is.
My wife keeps keeps telling me to stop pretending to be butter. Nah, but I'm already on a roll.
Oh. So my friend got banned from a Weight Watchers meeting.
Yeah.
He went in there and dropped a big bag of M&Ms on the floor. It was the best game of Hungry Hippos I ever saw.
Ha, ha, ha. How does Darth Vader like his toast?
Oh,
on the dark side.
I wanted. A woman in Ohio tried to cut off her lover's penis, and she missed and hit his thigh. She was charged with misdemeanor.
Charged with a misdemeanor?
Misdemeanor.
That's awesome.
Great jokes today. Got me cracking up so bad. You got two more? I got one more.
All right. So there was an explosion this week at a cheese factory in Paris. There was nothing left but debris.
Oh. Okay, wait. Now, I usually don't complain about your jokes. I don't like the French. I don't like the French. They're arrogant. If you ever, don't go to France, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Yeah. So what is a houseware?
New Jersey.
Address.
Oh, shit.
All right. What's your last one?
Oh, my last one would be my favorite. So my wife came back from her Bible study and said, honey, they told me in Bible study I need to come home and just get a hold of all my problems. So she leaned over and gave me a hug.
All right, I got one more. So on my birthday this year, you know I turned 55, right? So yeah. As my daughter hands me my 55th birthday card, I just looked at her and I said, sweetheart, one would have been enough.
No. Fantastic.
All right, sorry. What about right, MMA? So
Who's your pick for the Super Bowl?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I am going to go with the Chiefs. Their defense is good enough. I don't think Brock Purdy is going to be able to pull out stuff at the end. I think the Lions kicked the 49ers' butt three of the four quarters. Actually, they tied them one quarter, kicked their butt two, and then they just – now, we haven't talked about this, but I did want to bring this up because I do think – you know. I want to know your thoughts because I'm going to give you mine when I'm done, but I want to know your thoughts. Third quarter, Niners get the ball, opening kickoff, they go down, they score, they get three, okay? They're still not in the game. You've got the Lions go down, and they get down into field goal range, and Dan Campbell goes for it on fourth down rather than kicking a field goal. What was your thoughts on that play?
So – I don't like it. Everybody said they support it. I don't like it. I take the points. But I'll tell you that that was second or third tied time, all-time comeback. They keep saying Purdy ain't got it. It was all about coaching. So I got to tell you that game was all about coaching.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done that one.
Yeah.
Put the points on the board. If I've got 10 more points on the board, maybe I win it.
Well hang on. Twice he went forward on fourth down rather than kicking the field goal, and they lost by three. Okay, so let's just start there. If he kicked the two field goals.
You don't know if that three would have led to another three. They were up, and he was trying to hammer the hammer. But what happened in the second half, Danny?
Well, no, this is what I want to get at. So this is why I think that the coach blew it. Now, I understand it at first because the reason I ask you how you felt about it because I remember thinking, yeah, at first when I saw him going for fourth, I was like, yeah, that's who you are because he's gone for fourth. They have gone for fourth more than any other team in all of the NFL all year long, and they've been very successful at it. So at first, that was my first thought. Now, then I would shake my head.
What was the score when he went for it? What was the score when he went for it?
It was, what was it? At half, it was 24.
No.
Hang on.
It wasn't at half when he went for it.
Hang on. At half, it was 20. I'm trying to remember. It was 24 to 7 or 3. No, 24 to 7 and a half, right? And then they came out and they got a field goal, so it was 24-10. So it was 14-point difference at the point where we went for it
on fourth in the first half, also, Danny.
No, I understand that. So this is why, this is what I was getting at. This is why I was saying this, is I understand he is a guy that goes for it on fourth down. So I don't want to take it away. This is why I think it was a mistake. When the other team, when you're up 20 or when you're up 17 points, and the other team gets a field goal, and you have the opportunity to match that field goal, you take it. Even though I know he likes to gamble, I know he likes to go for fourth down, and I'm not questioning that. I'm only saying in this situation, and I'm not talking about the analytics that say, oh, you always got to do it because of this. No, the other team got a field goal. If you get a field goal, you coming out of halftime, their first possession, they gain points on you. If you tie it back, you're back where you were. So now we're 7 minutes in, exactly where we were at halftime, 17 points up. He blew that, and when he did, that left them 14 points behind.
So
and
out then of they, halftime, he should have kicked that one.
That one he should have kicked, definitely. He should have. Because
100%.
Now had
that's
they,
a momentum shifter.
Right.
Once on the board for a football team, whether it's three or whatever.
Yeah.
And he did not. That probably was the one.
I think that was
first
the one.
First half
that,
one?
Yeah. No, the first half I'm fine. I'm not questioning the first half. The first half is fine. Cause at this point, had San Francisco gone down and scored a touchdown and he had gone for it, I'm going, okay. They scored a touchdown. He's trying to match the touchdown. It didn't work. I get that. But they scored a field goal. And at this point in the game, all you have to do is match them the rest of the game, and you win by 17. And instead, he went
because
for it.
Because it's energy and it's mentality.
Yes.
And he went for it, and they got it. And then that was the momentum changer.
Yep.
I agree.
And then they went down and scored the touchdown, and now they're 7 points behind, and bam, you get a fumble, and now the game is over because the momentum has shifted, the crowd is back in it, and that's why I say, now, at home, maybe you do different because you're never going to get the crowd on their side, but when you're away like that, you kick the field goal, and whatever little hope they got out of their 3 points just went flat with the fans because you just tied it, right?
So here's the sad part. Is that if San Francisco wins, guess what happened?
What?
Well, they pass your Cowboys.
Oh, I know. And I hate that. But, you know, what? They went to the Super Bowl a few years ago and got beat by the Chiefs. So I'm just going to hope they're going to do it again. So I'm rooting for the Chiefs. And, you know, I think that now San Francisco's got a good defense, but they're even talking about benching one of their players for taking some time off. So they're not as perfect as everybody thinks they are. I think Brock Purdy I think he's cool.
I root for McCafferty. Sorry.
Yeah.
They would be the only father-son combo in history to win a championship for the same team.
And that would be a lot of fun, but I don't want to see it.
That dude is a beast.
Yes.
That's one of the players I really like in the league. He's classy. He's tough. Plays well and really can't be stopped. So that's who I root for.
Yeah.
You know, I root for players a lot.
Yeah.
We root for ladies and gentlemen, old guys on radio. Thanks for tuning in. It's Chuck and Danny. I like to root for players because so many teams are crap. And so I like to root for players around the league, like McCafferty.
I'm rooting for Taylor Swift.
Mason Rudolph. One of our final things was, what's wrong with that? I mean, everybody's going crazy. There's more girls watching football. And football had the highest rating the other week. Because of her.
Hey, I'm for Taylor Swift. And when I say I'm for Taylor Swift because she's with Travis Kelce, and maybe I'm wrong, but they put the cameras on her so much. Do you think she's having fun in that booth?
I'm not sure.
I mean, I'm just asking. I think she's having fun.
I know that when I – okay, Danny.
Yeah.
We've been in those high-dollar booths.
We have.
When I'm on those booths, when our team's playing well,
yeah,
we're having fun.
But does she not look like she's having fun?
It does.
She looks like she's having a ball. And you know what? Wives and girlfriends of players who, and quite frankly, Mahomes' wife looks like she's still having fun, and he's already got a couple of rings, you know, and she was there for that. But she's having fun. Taylor's having fun. Good God, Travis Kelce's brother's all shirtless having fun. They're having a ball. Man. I love that. Look, I know she's worth $1 billion.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
And then you saw after the championship game, you saw a big boy go down there and grab his brother in a weird shirt.
Yeah.
And like, if I won the championship, would you come down there and grab me?
Hell
if
yeah.
If I was winning, would you be rip your shirt off and go, that's my boy Chuck.
Hey, yeah! Hey, all right, so let's put it into perspective. Chuck goes to work for the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is his favorite team. He's loved them forever, which is obviously the nemesis of the Dallas Cowboys, right? And Chuck works for the team and gets to go down on the field. And for whatever reason, I happen to be able to be in the stadium and I get to go down there. Yeah, I'm giving him a high five, even if they just beat the Cowboys, because I'm happy for him. It sucks for me, but I'm happy for him. And I'm just saying, she looks like she's having fun. Why the hell do we care? I hope they have a good relationship. Stay together as long as you want, as long as you make each other happy. And this chick, she is going to perform Saturday in Tokyo. Now, I looked at it, and when you fly over the ocean, you lose a whole damn day. And because her plane's worth $50 million, she's going to be able to sleep on it, which is great, but it's an 18-hour flight.
Can I say something as a football fan?
Yeah.
Whatever draws more people to football right now.
Amen, brother.
I'm positive.
Yeah.
Because they're showing anthems.
Yeah.
And they're doing things, and as we're about to close out the show, Jim Harbaugh, the Ravens coach, and the Michigan coach and his brother have brought Bibles to their press conference, and the Rookie of the Year has been talking about Jesus Christ, and that's what we need in this country. There's not kneeling anymore. Yeah. There's the positive energy that we need through sports and through each other. Whether or not we're presidential candidates, we need the positive energy, because there's so much crap out there.
Team sports. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I want to commend them.
Yeah.
I want to commend them for they've actually been playing the national anthem sometimes. And the coaches and players, who you got to realize, they're going to have a bigger following than anyone else. Because there's a lot of Christians out here.
Yeah.
And so this show, make it no whether you want to listen or not, we're about trying to grow this country and help our friends.
So I was going to say, team sports, when you play a team sport, you learn teamwork, you learn humility, you learn how to fight through adversity. There are a lot of things that you learn as a person about what you are. And if you ever look, and I challenge anybody, I know that one of them, you know, I'm an Aggie fan, and they have A&M went to the national championship in the 50s. And if you look at Miracle on Ice, okay, these are some things that have charted the history of some players, right? So if you look at that A&M national championship team, now these guys are presidents of banks, presidents of corporations, heads of little, you know, of security funds and all that kind of stuff. These guys are all successful businessmen. Why? Because they understood working hard, overcoming adversity, working as a team, accepting people for who they are, and learning all those skills.
What you learn from football.
Yeah.
Hard sports. What you learn from hard sports.
Yeah.
Not the individual sports.
Correct.
Digging, fighting.
Yeah.
Fighting for a team, lifting weights. They're all going to be champions, or at least successful, because they learned that.
So go and watch the movie Miracle, or is it? I think it's Miracle, but it's about Miracle on Ice, and it's the 1980 hockey team. And all these guys are college guys for the most part, right? At the time, they're college players. Yeah. So these guys are 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old kids. And if you look at the end, they talk about where they are. and they're head coaches of high schools, head coaches of colleges, heads of companies, heads of hedge funds, heads of this, heads of that. They are all leaders of somewhere. And it's because those are the things that you learn through sports. And that's not just football, but it's all these team sports. And I mean, it's amazing that you can do it. And I love being in it.
Yeah. The people in Iran need to play more sports because they suck. And I want to have people in my world reach out to me and help me understand why we sent hundreds of millions of dollars to Iran about a year and a half ago, and we're right on the verge of going to war with them. I want to understand this demographic because I don't. And Old Guys Roll Radio's website. You certainly can post it, but I can't grasp why. I'm telling you right now, America and folks, if they blew up, let me rewind. I don't know why we have Ford stations around that area. I don't understand why we have those little pods there. We used to never. I don't understand that, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, if Ronald Reagan was president, we wouldn't have these problems because they would know that America is more powerful than the rest of the world, and we can go in and I know this sounds bad, folks. We can eliminate their nuclear sites right now.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We can eliminate them right now. All of their military and all their nuke sites right now. Right now. Like three pushes of a button and they have no more military. Now, the rewind from China and Russia and some other might be some repercussions, but we can also deal with them because we are the single most powerful military country in the world. And they all know it. And why we are not bitch slapping people for screwing with us is bullshit. And that's I'm not going to end the show with that, but USA, we do not need to step back and let people abuse our country or our people.
No.
They've still got our people.
Yeah. They've attacked us 166 times. 166 times. And we've not done anything yet. I mean, come on.
It's time.
And I want to throw this out there because this you know, I hear a lot of people because I am conservative, I am Christian, so are you, and so we hear a lot of people from the other side, and I get it, and I appreciate other people's opinions, even if I disagree or even if I think they're stupid, but the Bible says to turn the cheek 7 times 70. Oh, so 490 times? No, it's you just always turn the cheek. But here's the thing. Jesus is my Savior, and God is my moral compass. My president needs to kick somebody's rear end from time to time. Because if you look at it, you know, God led David in war. You know, I mean, God has led his side in war. And sometimes you have to kick somebody's rear end because it's the right thing to do as well. So, you know, because always people go, oh, the Christians, they need to read the Bible. Look, I'm not saying that I don't want to turn the other cheek, but at the same time, you don't get to go kill our people and us not respond. And unfortunately, so far, that's what's happened.
Thank you for sharing the Old Guys Roll Radio Politics. Hey, we appreciate you. And that was almost a final thought, but I'll do another one. Danny, as we wrap up the show, what do you got for the folks?
Well, so unfortunately, I apologize for not having near as much sports as we normally do. We kind of got on some tangents, but this weekend, you need to watch the NHL because it's the All-Star game, and we are going to watch All-Star that, and week. We will report on that next weekend or next week when we do our show because it'll be before the Super Bowl, and we've already talked about football.
The NHL's the only one with a really good All-Star game.
Fantastic one. I'm looking forward to it.
The challenges. Now, the NBA dunk contest is fun, but it doesn't count for anything. Baseball is a good All-Star game because it counts, but the NHL is definitely the best.
Yeah, so
we love you. We love you, eh?
Yeah, eh. So that one's coming up, eh? And I'm looking forward to it. So, we will talk about that.
Coming up.
Yeah.
We didn't touch boxing with a lot of our fans. Fury Usyk is coming up next weekend. That's probably the biggest heavyweight championship fight in about a decade, maybe about 12 years.
Yeah.
So I was going to go into boxing, going to go into that. We got a lot of boxing stats, got a lot of stuff, MMA stuff. There's a really big female MMA fight coming up if you're into MMA. So Holly Holm came out of retirement, and she's fighting someone – who they recruited into the MMA, who's a champion all around the world. So really interesting stuff there. But here's my final thought. Before you do yours.
No, I'm good. Look, I didn't do this at the beginning of the show, so I'll do it now and let you have your final thought. If you want to find Old Guys Rule Radio, you can find us at www.oldguysruleradio.com. Or if you just want to Google search us, Old Guys Rule Radio, about the first 14 of the first 15 are all us. Click on it. You can find us anywhere you have your favorite podcasts. And our motto here is, by God, do something nice for somebody.
Hey, Danny, can you tell them a quick pop out about Mayhem? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. So we got Mayhem coming up, but I didn't pull it up, so I don't have all the dates. But, Mayhem Bike Rally in Arizona. Hang on.
We forgot. They're just our friends. And it's our buddy Larry out there.
You gotta prompt me for that a little bit. Come on, man.
I'm sorry. My bad. I take one for the team right there.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Hang on. I'll get it. Mayhem Bike Week. Let's see if that'll find it. Mayhem Bike Week, Bullhead City, Arizona. That is indeed coming up for you. Oh, and if you click on their website, because they have like the coolest freaking page, it'll tell you how many days, how many seconds until Bike Mayhem. But it's April 25th through the April 28th at Bullhead River Run. It's not just a bike run; it's a tattoo run. I mean, they got all kinds of stuff going on. Check out their website. They're coming up. They're pretty fantastic. So we are going to try to make that go. I got to figure out how the hell I'm going to sell it to my wife. But maybe she'll be up and going with me.
We'll do better talk about that. But we got to get down there and we got to go check that thing out. Somehow we're going to make that happen.
Oh yeah.
So my thing for the final close of the show is that I see everybody, right? So I see a lot of people, and I just want to say a simple thing. Danny says it all the time. How hard is it to be nice? How hard is it just in every interaction I have? I had about 500 interactions this week. I could have been a large douche in half of them, or I could have been fairly nice in most of them. And you have a choice. So the first thing is be nice. The second thing is not everybody has food. So if you go to the grocery store and they have a thing and it says going to help families, you know it's really going to help families. I went to about 8 houses this week, spraying houses and apartments, and I spent my money buying them some food because they didn't have no food, folks. There's a lot of people that don't have food in America, which is ridiculous. We're giving the money to everywhere else in the world, and if you have the choice and you can afford it, say yes to the homeless things and pay into it when you can, because that really does, that money goes back to people. So please help the homeless, please help yourselves, and God bless you all.
Amen, brother.